You open your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You don't have to, but I want to tell you what happened. Genesis chapter 3, 15, we see God address in this particular chapter Adam, Eve, and the serpent. And as he addresses the serpent, he says that through this woman, there will be one to come that will crush your head. And you will bruise his heel. As you read this, this is on the day in which Adam and Eve, given into the temptation, had then broken the holy and perfect communion with God, and sin entered the world. From that point on until this very day, there has been a separation between God and man who lives in sin and chooses to drown themselves in it. You might as well say they're walking and living in darkness. Father Abraham, who had many sons, was called by God to leave his home and his father's house. And part of this promise was that he would be a great nation. He would be the father of many, many descendants, yet he was fatherless at the time. Part of the promise was that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him, through his lineage. The prophets spoke of the kingdom of David was to be one to last forever through his lineage. The prophets prophesied time and time again of this one that was to come. For hundreds of years, people would pass on from one generation to the next this hope of and anticipation of the one to come, the Messiah, the Christ. Generation after generation, they would raise their children to pass on to their children to hope for and look for this one that was to come. When you read the last word of Malachi, and when your Bible flips over to the book of Matthew, you go from the Old Testament to the New, known as the Intertestament period, which was approximately 400 years in which God remained silent. Decade after decade, young child turned into young adult, turned into older adult, turned into leaving a legacy, all the while passing on this hope of the Messiah to come. And to us, it's just the flip of a page in which we see 2,000 years ago, wrapped in a manger, in a stable, Joseph and Mary sat there, laid there, with this newborn child. And the question is asked in a very popular Christmas song, "Mary, did you know?" In which she had no clue. She had no clue what exactly was happening in that moment. She had understood what she was being used for and that God was using her and saw favor in her. And it was just prophesied about that this Messiah, this King of Kings, this Prince of Peace, this wonderful Counselor, this Mighty God and Everlasting Father, this child to be born unto us would be born of a virgin. But Mary did not know that since the time in the garden in which darkness entered the world, and which many people continue to live in today, and maybe some here, if you were to be honest with your own heart, with your own mind, with your own motives, with your own intention, with your own relationship or the lack thereof with Jesus Christ, you would too be saying today that you continue to walk and live in darkness. Darkness is just simply the absence of light. Darkness is in Scripture and often understood as those that live in sin and in separation from God their Father. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? I don't think Mary knew that as she sat in a manger 2,000 years ago, that what she held in her arms was, yes, a newborn baby. But John writes in the Gospel of John, according to John the disciple, the apostle, he writes that the true light, we're on it today. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And the reason I chose to open today like we did, can you turn that one on? I saw Emily look behind her like, what in the world is going on? I was up to something. The reason I chose to open the way that I did was to truly put you in a darker, though it's light outside and we don't have a way to block it, darker state. To give you the understanding of what truly happened from the day in which Adam and Eve fell to the temptation, truly happened, and even to this day, some people continue to live in darkness. Did Mary know? No, she did not. That she was holding in her arms, wrapped in a manger, the light of the world. The light that would not be overcome by the darkness. The light of the world that would come and bring light and bring hope and bring life and bring help and bring everything in which we need to survive in this world right into the world around us. Mary did not know. And this time of the year, some will celebrate or observe what they call Advent, and which is just simply the preparation of the birth of Jesus, is also celebrated as the preparation for the coming. There is another one to come. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. I'm not telling you something new. You've got an entire book about it. You got four Gospels recording his birth and his life and what he was and who he was. But if I can just portray it in this way, Jesus was certainly the light for all mankind. He was the light that came onto the scene that brought light to everyone. And if you read in verse 10, it says, I'm going to read verse 10, stop for a minute, and then continue on in just a second. But as he came into the world, the Bible says this, that he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And my very first question for you all today is, do you know him? Do you know him? I'm not asking if you know John 3:16, if you can recite it to me by memory. I'm not asking if you come on a regular basis or try to come at least twice a month. I'm not asking if you participate and sing along with us or halfway clap like we did today or whatever we were stomping about. I'm not asking if you participate by serving at Share What You Wear. I'm not asking if you participate by coming to our functions. I'm asking, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Yeah, I was off last week, and I had 2 weeks to think about this one question. One question that is the most important question you will ever answer in your life. And I'm telling you, ladies, it's not, will you blank marry me? Though that is important, please choose wisely. Please, for the sake of yourself and your parents and your family, choose wisely. That is not the most important question. The most important question you can ever answer in your entire life is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you spend time in his presence, in his word? Do you spend time in prayer and communication to the light of the world? Do you know him? Do you know him? And I want to get into it in just a little bit more and a little bit further into this text, but I want you to spend some time reflecting on this question. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because if you answer it incorrectly, you might find out one day in which you will stand before him and he will say to you, "Depart from me, for I did not know you." Knowing Jesus is truly an invitation of intimacy with your Savior and with your King. It's an invitation of him being involved in your life as you are involved in the relationship that you and he have together. Do you know him? Do you spend time with him? And the question is so simple, do you know him? But I mean, just think about it. You have the invitation and the opportunity, the privilege to know the one that stepped down from glory and put on bone and flesh for you and me. Like, I have the opportunity, and many people will just kick it aside or completely reject it or deny it the entirety of their life. You have the opportunity to know the light of the world in a very personal and intimate way. You have an opportunity to know and be known fully by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. We are invited into this relationship that he loved us in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. The light of the world came. Why? Because we can never live to it. We can never get to him. We can never measure up to him. So God loved us in this way that heaven came to earth. The light of the world stepped down from glory with bone and flesh wrapped in a manger. If it's anything like the three times we've done it, probably peed all over his mom even. I'm not sure. He was Jesus, though. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was respectful as a kid. Maybe he didn't backtalk his mama. Maybe he didn't say no. I don't know. But the reality of the situation is that the light of the world came. And during this time of the year, we're going to be preparing our hearts for what we will celebrate on December 22nd as a church, but it's recognized on December 25th, which is the Christmas day where we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Well, you want to debate whether he was born in May or not, I don't really care. All right? It's not the fact of the particular day, it's the reason in which we celebrate. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And what I want you to understand is that there is a significant difference between being close to something and truly knowing it. Even in this world in which we live by, you can consider yourself somewhat close to someone just because you follow them on a computer screen or a phone screen. But to truly know them and be known by them is completely different. You can open up your Bible app all you want, and I highly encourage you to do so. I highly encourage you to spend time in the Word, spend time with your church family and friends, in part of your life group, serving in one capacity or another. But what I want you to know is we could say it's all vanity if you never truly surrender yourself to Him as your Lord and King. He did not come 2,000 years ago so we would have a day in which we would make such a big deal to ensure that we are wrapping gifts and sitting around a tree or passing gifts around and playing games. That's all good and part of the celebration. But he didn't come that we would just have this one big day of the year in which we would spend way more money than we've ever thought about spending and put ourselves in debt and eat ramen noodles for a few weeks after so that we can ensure that our spouse or our kids have the newest and the latest. No. He came 2,000 years ago as ordained by God the Father. Because God's children were living in darkness. And in order for light to be seen, light must have entered into darkness. And I'm not a scientist or an engineer. I already told you my brother stole all the brainwaves from my whole family. And he's the engineer, and he's told me about light, and I don't remember what he said, but I know 2,000 years ago, the light of the world stepped onto the scene in a very real way. So as we move further into the text, it says that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But in verse 12 of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Can you imagine what it would have been like to be the generation after many decades of anticipation and angst, to see the Messiah in person? And we read all about him in this gospel. We sing songs all about him and all to him. Yet just as he did 2,000 years ago, he came so that people may know him, just as he is still alive today, so that you may know not all about him, but as much as he will reveal to you and to me. But it says that he came, and he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, it says, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So let's just think about it for a minute. Jesus came, born, like we're going to be preparing our hearts for over the next few weeks, preparing our hearts to truly celebrate on Christmas morning, not because there's a big tree with many lights and bulbs and whatever you put on it and gifts under it and stockings on the fireplace and you know, Christmas carols playing all month long. But to truly wake up on that particular morning knowing this, in fact, may not be the day from 2,000 years ago, but to picture the day in which Mary held in her arms the light of the world. Could you imagine to have walked beside him? Could you imagine knowing Mary and Joseph? Maybe they were part of your life group. You didn't have life groups back then. Maybe they were part of your gym class. Mary may have done spinning with her girlfriends, and Joseph may have done CrossFit with his buds and buddies. And could you imagine, though, to come home and see this newborn baby grow up to be the one that would die on a cross for his people? And the beautiful story is that Jesus came, born of a virgin, wrapped in a manger, would die for us, rise again, and live everlasting with him. But if you were to understand the depth of love and grace in such an act, that a holy, righteous, perfect, just God would step down from his throne, put on bone and flesh, endure puberty and pimples for people like you and me. Do you understand that we could never on our own know him? I'm not sure if we were to take a poll and ask if there's anyone here who has ever sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but I do not believe there would be many that would not sign up on that list. In fact, we have all fallen short and we have all made mistakes. We have all cursed his name in one way or another. We have all slapped him in the face, and we have all reminded him of why he went to that tree 2,000 years ago. For we have all sinned. But to know the depth of love, mercy, and grace, for him to still step down from glory in a way of humility, compassion, and love, to be born so that you and I could know him. Talking about the one that knows the amount of hair or hairs on the top of your head. Some of y'all have a couple up there still. And hold on, baby, because they go and they will never come back. But to know the one that looks at every mistake you have ever made and sees every flaw that you live with and knows every thought and temptation which you've struggled with and every decision that you made, and as soon as you made it or as soon as you said it, you highly regretted it. He knows all about you, but he's inviting you in through his birth 2,000 years ago for you to know a lot about him as well, to know his depth of mercy in life, to know his depth of provision, his love, his grace given to us freely and which we would never earn or could ever afford. Do you know him? Do you know him? And then he went to his own people and they rejected him. They hung him on a tree because they were waiting for this deliverance from oppression, in which, just like we are at times, we misunderstand things and we keep it on a surface level. They were expecting deliverance from the oppression in which they were in from the Roman Empire. Yet Jesus came for something deeper, because the Roman Empire would only last so long. Yet, if we know him, we will live forever and ever. Meaning our earthly bodies will eventually break down and will come to an end. Yet if we know him, if we know him in a very intimate, real way, then we will live forever. Some of you have family and friends that did not die. They just walked in new life. And I long for the day in which I see this new life that he came to offer us. But here is the deal. Some of you may be walking in darkness today. Or maybe there is an area of your life that is truly dark. Whether it be relationships, marriages, connection with kids, careers, finances, maybe your own state. Maybe you feel as if you today walked into this church, put on a smile that was not there last night or even earlier this morning, walked into here hoping, in fact, that if I just come in today and show who I am, they won't bother me to ask what's wrong with me. But you may have come in today in which you feel within yourself you are walking in darkness. It seems as if there is no hope and there is no light. Because when the light of the world came onto the scene, he came to bring hope to the hopeless. He came to bring help to the helpless. He came to bring healing. He came to bring miracles to people that would oftentimes never be able to do it. And he came to provide for people in ways that they could never imagine. And maybe you came in today feeling as if there is an area of your life in your heart, a relationship that has turned dark. Here's what I want you to know, that unless you invite into the darkness the light of the world, you will find yourself continuously walking in darkness. And here's how I know that. Because in John chapter 2, I'm not going to read the whole story and we're not going to get into it because of time. But in John chapter 2, there is a wedding in which Jesus goes to, the wedding at Cana. And Jesus is there at the wedding. And most of you know the story in which the wedding party ran out of wine at the wedding. And in that day and age was a complete embarrassment to your own name and family to run out of wine at the week-long celebration of your wedding. So Jesus is kind of asked in a way, but then also told by his mom, hey, it's time to do something here and fix this. I'm paraphrasing, so don't, whenever you read tonight, don't wonder why it's not saying these words. I'm paraphrasing, all right? Some people will take every word as if it should be in there just like I said it. And Jesus says, no, 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 it's not my time yet. And Mary completely ignores that and tells the people, just do as he tells you. Do as he says. Long story short, Jesus turns the water into wine and delivers it to the people. And in a situation that could have turned dark as far as a complete embarrassment as a new groom and newlywed couple, in which their entire reputation would have been hindered and broken, Jesus steps in, gets involved, and kind of saves the day and brings light to the darkness. And we could go through story after story. We could stay here all day, but y'all wouldn't want to do that, and I probably wouldn't want to do that. But what I'm saying is we could read through this story all day long and see time after time in which Jesus stepped onto the scene and brought hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. Just as he did 2,000 years ago for people like us. But the thing is this. We have to ask ourselves, well, why did Jesus turn the water into wine? Why did he turn the water into wine? And alcoholic Christians will use this story to justify their own sin. All right. This is the first thing he did. It must have been important. And I don't want to get into that. Why did he turn the water into wine? My nephew's trying to tell you. Why? Just think about it. Why did he turn the water into wine? Maybe he was asked from his mama. And y'all know if mama asks you to do something, you better sing and do it. And if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences. But what we see is that Jesus gets involved in this little situation that was not of him. Why did he get involved? And I think, and I would like to believe that he got involved because he was invited. Possibly he was invited to this wedding. But he was also invited into this moment. And what I want you to understand before you leave this place today is this. Unless you invite Jesus Christ into your marriage that feels dark, you'll never see light. It might get better, and Dr. Phil may help you a little bit. But in order to truly walk in light today, in an area of darkness, if he is never invited in, we'll never allow him to be involved. And the way that you can leave here today, maybe feeling darkened or walking in true darkness, is to truly invite Jesus into this season, into your relationship, into your heart, your mind, your home, into your finances, into your career, into your hope. If you invite him in, I promise you this, he will get involved. And the more that you surrender to him as King and Lord, the greater you will be able to walk. And the more that your marriage is operating around the way in which Jesus has given you to love and to live and to serve one another, the greater you will feel. The more that you operate as a parent, as a spouse, as a teacher, a leader, a coworker, as you operate, the more and more like Jesus would call us to operate, you will see more and more over time that darkness is truly turned into light. Because if you invite him in, I promise you he will be involved. The problem is, though, many people will never offer the invitation. Never offer the invitation. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So today, I just have two simple questions as we begin this new Advent time of the year, as we truly And if you have the Bible app or access to the internet, if not, we'll try to share it with Facebook. But download or subscribe to an Advent-themed Bible reading series or plan to truly prepare your heart to be thankful in celebrating the birth of your King. Understanding that he's coming again. And it's kind of the hope we pass on in our generations, right? I grew up in a different style of church. And we were always told, you never know what's going to happen when you leave here. And you never know when he's going to come back. And it's certainly true. The people may not have been ready when he came the first time. Are you going to be ready when he comes again? You know him. I pray and hope that no one leaves here not knowing who Jesus Christ is for them. He is your King and he is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He is the one that has brought reconciliation to broken, sinful people back to a holy, righteous God. So my two questions for you today is this, and I'll make it simple. Do you know him and have you invited him in? Because if you do not invite Jesus Christ into your situation, into this season, into your home, into your life, into your heart, then you will wander around in darkness all the days of your life. Let's pray, church.